climb in and hold on.
We're driving the conversation.
It's the Joel and Thomas Show, powered by Teton Toyota.
All right, KID crew, without any further ado, as promised, I have KID News Radio's very own Jimmy Failla on the phone. Jimmy, right off the bat, congratulations on becoming a New York Times best-selling author. That is a pretty huge accomplishment.
I have to tell you, it's first of all, thank you. And it's so excited to be here, Joel. You're on the inside, and you've kind of been a part of this since day one, so thank you for that. But understand, it's a bigger accomplishment than it sounds, just because, like, I wasn't exactly one of the smart kids growing up. Like, I'm the kind of guy who studied for a COVID test. So, the fact that I've somehow made it there, despite my intellectual limitations, is quite the accomplishment, and I will take all the accolades I can get, so thank you.
Well, you certainly should. And the book is called Cancel Culture Dictionary, an A to Z Guide to Winning the War on Fun. And I'm telling you right there, we certainly do need to win the war on fun.
Don't we? Because all the things in my book that I'm talking about are things where we used to go to take the edge off. Comedy, music, movies, you know. Things that started to get canceled ultimately turned our little outlets into, like, battlegrounds. You know, you used to go to the comedy club because you were done fighting over politics and worrying about work. And now you get to the comedy club and there's a lot of people that are upset about the politics of a joke or whether or not it was fair or offensive. And now the whole point of unplugging is, like, we're plugged all the way in. We're missing the point, which is to go have a good time. So all I'm trying to do in the book is make a common sense argument, you know, and appeal to people who want to live their life, you know, in pursuit of joy instead of a pursuit of, like, grievance of getting people worked up.
And you know something, Jimmy, as you're talking about that, it makes me kind of think about the fact that there are a lot of people out there, and you can almost see the tension that they're carrying, because you're right, we're not really unplugging or decompressing the way we did once upon a time.
Yeah, and I think that's a big problem of, like, the social media era and just, like, the cancel crowd. That's why when I'm on tour, like, everybody who wants to come see me in Idaho Falls Friday night, like, you're going to see me doing comedy like it's 1987. And all I really mean by that is I'm not going to be making President Reagan references. I just meant that, you know, we're going to behave as if we know the difference between a joke and a hate crime. You know, we're just here to have a good time, and that's what we're doing at the Colonial Theater. So buckle up, kids, because it's definitely not the type of content I could do on TV. Not that I'm particularly dirty, but, you know, TV's pretty buttoned up for the most part, unless you're watching my Saturday night show, in which case we've quit trying to behave. I don't know that we ever did.
And speaking of your Saturday night show, talk about fun. You guys make that fun. I'm loving it.
Well, thank you for that. I mean, we're really just trying to create, like, a hangout. You know, it's like, I know it's a TV show and it's fancy and they got all these cameras and everything in between, but it really is just a hangout, like me and my friends, whether they're Fox friends or, you know, local celebrities or comics that I came up with, where we're really kind of just talking about the world from, like, a human standpoint. Like, we were doing politics 2 weeks ago, and it wasn't like who's going to win the election. It was who would be the best wingman in a bar, you know? And it's like a fun way to talk about, you know, the newsmakers without actually getting into, like, the hard news aspect of it, which I find fun.
Oh, yeah. So, okay, break it down. Who would be the best wingman in a bar?
Ooh, that's a good question. So of everybody this time around, I mean, listen, I actually think in the current election cycle of terms of a wingman in the bar, I think I would have wanted Ron DeSantis. Here's why, okay?
Okay.
Ron DeSantis is, like, very fiscally responsible. So he's not going to send over a round of drinks to a bunch of girls that's going to cost me, like, $40 more than I was able to spend. You know what I'm saying? And he also isn't, like, super outgoing, so he's not going to hog the limelight. See, the problem with Trump is, number one, he doesn't drink, so he's probably not that great at a bar, but not that he couldn't be social. But number two is Trump is very all about Trump. So as a wingman, he's going to outshine you. You know what I mean? You need a wingman just to be there to occupy the other person. You know, I would say Biden, but he won't know what bar you're in. And then that complicates things. So I don't know. I'm actually going DeSantis.
You know something? I wouldn't have just picked DeSantis off the top of my head, but I have to tell you, Jimmy, you've made a really strategic case. I get that. He would not outshine anyone.
No, and that's the logic. And he's not going to look taller than you unless he has his lifts on. But that's another story for another time.
Right. Okay, so I have to say, the title of your comedy tour, Everybody Calm Down, I absolutely love it, because you know what? You have hit on something. Everybody does need to calm down.
Yep. That's the whole point of the tour, is it's like everything we think is this huge, you know, world-ending scandal and all the things we're fighting over. Most of our problems could be solved if everybody could just chill out. You know, that's what we used to do back in the day. We had political differences for as long as there's been a country. We just didn't use those differences as justification to fire somebody from their job or get them canceled from their advertisers. We just chilled out. I mean, because at the end of the day, all the things we're fighting over, 99% of them don't amount to anything. It's like if you go back to the Trump presidency, we spent 3 of the 4 years arguing about his tweets. And now if you look at what we're doing now in life, we have problems like far greater than what Trump tweeted when he got up to pee in the middle of the night. But it's like that perspective can only be gained from calming down. So that's all I'm trying to do. Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, if you come out to the Colonial Theater Friday night, see me tell jokes, you're going to see an opportunity to just really quit caring. Because we're not supposed to care this much. And I don't think people do care. I just think they pretend to care because it gives them an upper hand over the other people they're trying to censor.
It's so true. And it's almost as if that has become the norm. So everybody just sort of follows around the other people and they feel almost compelled that they have to do that.
Yep. That's what it is. It became a brand.
Right.
And that's ultimately what cancel culture is. It's like there was this thing going on social media where it felt like every morning you'd get out of bed and the whole world was mad at somebody. Like, oh, I can't believe this guy said that thing. And people who didn't even know the story would start tweeting about that somebody because they were getting likes and they were getting positive reinforcement, like, way to go, you know? But what we came to find out is none of those cancellations or witch hunts or whatever you want to call them actually improved society in any way. There is nothing that's been canceled, whether it's a football mascot, a syrup logo, a TV show. None of us could get out of bed the next day and be like, hey, we solved the problem. And we didn't. You know, when you're going after superficial things, that's not activism. That's slacktivism.
Ooh, I like that.
Social media is. Well, that's what it is. It's a brand. Slacktivism.
Yeah.
Hey, I tweeted about the thing. I'm a pretend activist. Give me some likes. That's all we're doing.
Oh, so well said. Well, Jimmy, I have to tell you, I have a welcome package sitting right here in the KID News Radio studio for you, and I cannot wait. I'm not going to give away the surprise, but I really think you're going to like it.
Oh, Jolynn, there's a lot of suspense. Like, I'm excited. I can't wait to get there. But now, because I just don't know with you. It might be really sweet and wonderful. It might be a ticking bomb. I don't know. We run hot and cold. I have no idea. I'm just excited for the punchline, whatever it is.
Yeah, you're just going to be on your toes, right?
Believe it.
Well, Jimmy, we're finally going to get that epic meeting that you and I have been talking about.
Yep. This is a low-budget Sleepless in Seattle. We couldn't get the Empire State Building, but we could get Bear World or Schmitty's or something local. So
oh, yeah.
Me in, Jolynn. You're the best.
Well, you are too, Jimmy, and I can't wait. I'm on the countdown. It's going to be a really good time.
Rock and roll. I'll see you Friday.
Okay, sounds good. You have a great one.
You too, girlfriend. Take care.
All righty. Bye-bye.